14. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am delighted to welcome back into the morning show. I was going to say into our studios, but today we're via Zoom with the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht. And joining him today, we'll more properly introduce her a little bit later on, Zena Haywood, executive vice president and provost here at Gateway Technical College. So two Gateway biggies are joining us today for what's going to be a really special program. Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It is always a pleasure to be a part of your show. And I don't think I've ever been introduced as a biggie before, so I may just use that again sometime, all right? That was all pretty right. Good. I liked it.
Don't let it go to your head, but yes, can't get much bigger than the president or the provost for that matter. So, and again, we'll properly introduce Zena Haywood in just a moment. I know that you have a couple things you wanted to announce right off the bat, including the fact that February, among other things, is Career and Technical Education Month. And I suspect that this is something that Gateway observes and celebrates. How so?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. Thank you so much. There's so much in February that we celebrate. Groundhog's Day, Valentine's Day.
My birthday.
Wow, this is a month of celebrations. That's fantastic. But One area that we like to really highlight during this time is the fact that we're not only celebrating great historical events like Black History Month and the fact that it's your birthday, but it's also National Career and Technical Education Month, which gives us a chance to focus in on the students that are pursuing with passion careers in technical fields. We talk about it on our program every once in a while about dual enrollment, those high school students taking courses at Gateway to advance their career. Of course, the tremendous occupational programming that we offer here at Gateway that leads to direct employment with some really essential and rewarding careers in our community. So to highlight and celebrate the importance of technical education, whether it's through apprenticeship programs, internship programs, or just the occupational skill development that we have here at the college, that's a good reminder for all of us that most of our day-to-day life activities are in some way connected to someone that has some technical capacity to make our lives better. So we celebrate all of that, and it's a great way to recognize this month as another great highlight for Gateway.
Yeah, that is something that is so true and also so easy to take for granted. I mean, especially if you are somebody whose sort of day-to-day life, it doesn't sort of officially intersect with the technical world, we don't stop to think about all the ways in which our lives are impacted day after day.
You're so right. I mean, just for this morning's program, just imagine waking up and how was your breakfast prepared, the food delivered to the grocery store. You drove your car likely, or some had someone deliver it to you. So the transportation industry, the logistics industry, the culinary industry. And then, of course, we're on a Zoom. So there's a technology infrastructure. We got to have Wi-Fi, broadband, we got to know how to operate these tools, and someone has to build them, make them, and repair them. I think Nick Pinchuk calls it the fixers and makers of the world, and we're so dependent upon them, and it's just really great that Gateway has that as its roots, and we'll continue to do that going forward.
Very good. If all of us have learned nothing during the COVID-19 pandemic, I think we've had to develop kind of a new awareness for all of those ways in which we are all connected, and how life is so different when something happens and those connections, for whatever reason, falter a bit or are interrupted.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think I've learned some really strong insights to the concept of supply chain, something I never had thought about in the past, right? When you had to back order something, I understood that it just took a little longer to make, but supply chain saying you may never get it if we don't figure out a new system. But that, and of course, the whole transformation of the way that services are provided in a digital format in a more customized program, like we all learned, as you mentioned, through the pandemic, how dependent we are on services and the service industry. So it is just really, again, inspiring to know that Gateway continues to evolve its programs. And our guest today, Zena Haywood, will help us talk a little bit about the transformation we've made in the last 2 years to hybrid online platforms, new infrastructure, and it's an entirely different educational world than it was even a few years ago.
I know that you also want to make mention of something that just occurred last week involving the National Workforce Development Institute. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you. So this is probably our 10th year of being invited to speak at the Workforce Development Institute. It's hosted by the American Association of Community Colleges. So this is the national association for all colleges like ours, two-year colleges that focus on community and technical programs. And to be highlighted every year is a great honor. And this year, Matt Janison was on a panel as he talked about the partnerships we have with the Kenosha Unified School District. And actually, Angie, the principal from K-Tech, was there. And we helped to build that talent pipeline from a very early age into the adult workforce. So it just gives me great pleasure to be able to be a part of those dialogues and to showcase Gateway's work in pre-programming, like we're talking about elementary schools, all the way through the adult apprenticeship program. So I'm just really proud of our team. I want to give a shout out to Katie and Nikki and Matt, who are all highlighted at the national level. And also just, Greg, if I could just highlight real quickly, we just came back from a meeting in Washington, D.C. with our board of trustees. And they were a part of what's called the Legislative Summit hosted by ACCT, the Association for Community College Trustees. So Ron Bhatia was there, Bill Duncan and Zaida Hernandez-Ierson, and they led discussions with our elected officials in Washington around the importance and the value of technical education. Again, reminding our elected officials just how important it is to keep those investments strong in our country, because it's about a national economy that's impacted with local decisions. So I was really proud of their effort in leading that cause.
Very, very good. Well, it's time to introduce our special guest, and I get a little credit for suggesting last week during your January visit to the morning show that with the announcement of Provost Zena Haywood's impending retirement, might be time to have her back on the morning show. I didn't mean to plant in your idea that retirement's a great idea, because lo and behold, we have two retirement announcements to be dealing with in this program today. Tell our listeners about this. What's going on?
Well, Greg, you're right. You gave me a good idea last month that it sounded like it's a pretty good lifestyle out there. But I just have to tell you, I am so honored and I was so privileged to be able to share with our board last month my plans to retire from Gateway. And I couldn't do it in a more appropriate way than to do it with my dear friend Zena Haywood, because we have been partners in this process from day one here at Gateway. And she's been a great friend of mine personally and a tremendous advocate and leader for the college, of which we'll have a chance to celebrate. It's going to take a while. We're still going through the search process. The official RFP for the search consulting company was released last week. So now our board will form their committee and put together the selection of the search committee and then create a national candidate pool. So I'll be with you yet for several months, but yes, as you'll hear today in the program, that I think Zena and I are so confident and proud of our accomplishments, and we're eager to hand it off and let another generation of leaders continue the journey here at Gateway.
Well, as hard as it is to let you go, it's not for us to decide, but you are leaving Gateway at a point when it is so healthy and poised for even greater things. And of course, one of the things we'll do today is talk about all that the two of you have done to help build Gateway into what it is today. Zena Haywood, Executive Vice President and Provost, we welcome you back to the morning show. It's great to have you on again. We've had many pleasurable and interesting conversations over the years. Before we get into all this retirement nonsense, let's talk about what your current duties, responsibilities are as Executive Vice President and provost, all of these responsibilities that you are about to happily hand off to somebody else.
Well, good morning, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio show, especially to be with President Albrecht on this occasion this morning. My job as Executive Vice President and Provost, I serve as the Chief Academic Officer for the college. So I oversee all of our academic programs, which includes the deans and all the faculty, campus administration for all of our campuses, international education, service learning, employee learning, institutional research, institutional effectiveness, our libraries, learning success centers, everything involved in student success.
Wow. So Greg, I reference it in the traditional way of a job description, other duties as assigned. Yes. and I would just share with you on Zena's behalf here that it has evolved tremendously over the last two decades. I mean, we started out thinking we knew exactly what the responsibilities were going to be. And as she mentioned, take things like multicultural leadership or international education and the work that we're doing in helping address achievement gaps for students and just so many new initiatives, including the one we recently announced with our liberal arts degree pathway. So all of those were added responsibilities since we started this journey together. So I think the provost is one of those jobs that just continually evolves and changes.
And retiring from that job starts to make some sense when you think about the way the responsibilities sort of snowball over time. But how exciting and what a meaningful sort of position to have where you know that you're making a difference in so many sectors of the college. So Zena Haywood, I suspect as a seven-year-old girl, you weren't tugging on your mom's apron strings and saying, "Mommy, I want to be a provost someday." But I suspect maybe it's a path of through the education world that eventually led you to this. Trace the path for us, please.
Well, Greg, I've yet to meet somebody who dreamed of being a college provost. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. But in fact, the only thing I knew when I was growing up was that I did not want to be a nurse. My mother was a nurse, and I knew that that was not the job for me. She's actually a retired nurse. And my dad was a police officer. So I really, when I was growing up, I really didn't want to have anything to do with wearing uniforms. Because back in the day when my mom was a nurse, they had to wear these starch white uniforms, and they had the hats and they had all of that. And my dad's had his uniforms. And I know, all I know is I didn't want to wear a uniform because I wanted to be able to dress up, because I've always liked dressing up. So I knew that I really wanted to work in an office. Because that was my perception of where you could, you know, dress like you want, and you sat behind a desk and you worked at an office. I had no idea that it would be in higher education, but I really consider myself an eternal work study student, because that's actually where I started my career. I worked at the financial aid office at the University of Michigan my sophomore, junior, and senior years. And so this was in the late 70s. And it's very different now, because back then we had about 90 employees just in the financial aid office, because wow, everything was paper. There was no computer. When things changed with a family contribution, it had to be hand calculated. We had staff. In fact, that was one of my positions, was just calculating family contributions and putting together awards for students on paper. So that's kind of where my career started as a financial aid student. So when I graduated in 1981 with my bachelor's degree, I was offered a full-time job at the front desk in the financial aid office. So I actually worked in the financial aid office at Michigan for 8 years and various promotions. I ended up as a financial aid officer two, and that was financial aid officer ones did all the hand calculations, and financial officer twos actually saw students and got to explain what was happening. So that was my last position I had there. And then I went to Oakland University, and I was there for 4 years, and I started out as a financial aid counselor, and then I was promoted to the student loan and scholarship manager. And so then I decided, you know what, I think I can direct the financial aid office. I think I can run things. So I applied for three jobs, and I got all three, and Gateway was one of them. And I chose Gateway because of actually the way the interview team how I felt about the interview team and how pleasant they were and how welcoming they were. And it was a challenge for me to then work for a two-year institution because the other two institutions were four-year institutions that I worked at. So I started at Gateway as a financial aid director, actually, in 1993. And I did that through 1999, so about 6 years. And then in May of 2000, I applied for and was given the position of Vice President of Student Services. So in that position, I still had financial aid as my responsibility, had admissions, advising, the registrar's office, student life. And then that's when I really started with a passion for retention. If anybody asks you, what is Zena's passion? What is she really concerned about? Of course, it's student success, but retention is really one of the key things that I am really a proponent for and really strive to help us get to that place at Gateway. And then in 2003, with the passing of Julian Thomas, I was asked to be the Vice President of Provost for the Racine campus. Well, you said there's only one Vice President Provost now, but back then we were decentralized and each campus had a Vice President Provost who was in charge of academics for that particular campus, student service, services, IT, facilities, custodians, everything that that campus VP Provost did. But when Brian became president in 2006, in January 3rd, he decided that we are going to be one college. We are going to centralize things. We want this to be one comprehensive college. And that's when he created the position that I have now and that I've held for the last 16 years to bring the college together in a centralized manner. And having to do that and organize how the campuses would then, how the campus administration will go, being a part of developing that whole thing has really been one of the highlights of my career. And I just love my job. So.
And I have to share, Greg, that, you know, I'm fortunate to have made hundreds, if not thousands, of decisions here at Gateway. The best one was in January of 2006 when I had Zena to help pull all this together and create one centralized message, process, and system of service to our students. And so it is really rewarding to not only hear your pathway, Zena, because it's really inspirational all the way through your journey, but also to know that you helped us put together a solid foundation for going forward for Gateway. So 110 years ago, you know, this idea was created in our community to help support, in that case, youth and adults who are progressing into their career paths. And today we have the same focus and same mission with a more solid and deeper foundation.
For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, although not president for too much longer. Both he and our morning show guest today, Zena Haywood, executive vice president and provost, have both announced their impending retirements. Zena Haywood, I forget when your retirement takes place. It takes effect, I think, sooner than President Albrecht's.
Yes, mine is September 6th.
Ah, all right. And then President Albrecht?
Yep, November 14th. And I would just share with all of our listeners here that Zena and I went into this sort of as a team. We had been talking about this for months before we made the announcement. We want to do it in a way that is very thoughtful for the college to make sure that our students continue to receive service without any gaps and that we gave our board and the leadership of Gateway as much time as possible to help build a transition. And we internally have been working that with our executive team going through some transition dialogues and continuing to build a solid financial budget going forward, academic programs going forward. So, you know, I don't think you'll see any change in our focus and our commitment. You might just have different people that you're working with later this summer.
Right. President Albrecht, I vividly remember when I first caught sight of you in this building, when you first came to Gateway and served under then President Sam Borden. And I remember seeing this incredibly energetic young guy who looked like he was about 16 years old, dashing down the hall in taking care of something or other and not knowing for quite a while, actually, exactly who this person was. But I knew he mattered and I knew he had a lot to do. And of course, that's only increased over time. So give us a sense of the professional pathway that ultimately took you into higher education and ultimately, of course, here to Gateway.
Greg, you're very kind. I was quite a bit younger when I started here at KOA, but the passion still exists. It reminds me of there's a Seinfeld episode where George Costanza was trying to explain his job, and he said, "All I do is look busy every day," and then you don't have to explain everything. So I'm telling you what, we have so many great things to be proud of here at Gateway, and every day there's a new exciting opportunity in front of us. And you know, with Zena's help and our entire executive leadership team and the guidance of the board, we've been able to move our college in places that I'm sure we wouldn't have even imagined some 16 or 19 years ago. But my path was is pretty straightforward, actually. I went right out of college to become a teacher. And I actually just recently wrote a little blog. And if you'd asked me, you know, way back 38 years ago, what are you going to do with your career? It would have been a teacher, right? So I started as a teacher. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I still think of myself as a teacher in many ways. And enjoyed my experience both at Cornell High School and over at Kewaunee High School. And in that process, had a chance to do the things that Zena's talking about, meet with students, you know, coach sports and get involved in students' lives outside of the classroom experience. And that's really what is most rewarding, helping them succeed in life. And every once in a while, I'll get a message on Facebook or, you know, a student will call me that, you know, they now have their family or they got a promotion in their job. And they remember the days that we spent together in the classroom or on the athletic field. But after that, I was asked to come to the Department of Public Instruction in Madison, and in fact, worked there for 16 years in many different roles. I was a consultant for the technology ed. That's my technical background that I so enjoy here at Gateway. And I had a chance to lead the Office of School to Work, which is our apprenticeship programming and work-based learning programs, building industry partnerships for the state superintendent. And in that process, I was invited to serve on the Wisconsin Technical College System State Board. So I was introduced to the colleges, and I was like, that's even closer to what my passion is. That's a direct alignment with industry. Those are the technical programs that I tend to thrive on, and got involved in some programming around building industry credentials. So that's why you see such a strong focus at Gateway around academic success, but also industry success, those certification, short-term certificate programs. And in that process, over all those 16 years, I became acquainted with Gateway Technical College. And at that time, we were going through some transitions here at the college with Dr. Borden, the development of now iMET and Inspire Center. At that time, they were Cat Eye and BioCat. That's where you and I first met, Greg, in the BioCat building. Yeah. And I was asked to come on board and try to help continue to build those industry partnerships and establish some new programming. And as you know, this it went fairly quickly because Dr. Borden announced his retirement and we went through a process and I was able to serve in a position similar to what Zena has now and chief operating officer and be involved in more of the academic side and was honored to be served as appointed to president. And the last 19 years have just flown by, 16 of them as president here at the college, and every day is an inspiration because it draws me right back to the reason that I chose this as a career, to help students, to connect with the community and build additional capacity for life's work in their own chosen profession. So I could not have asked for a better description of my career than what I have right now. And I'm honored to be able to say that I've always and always will be a part of the Gateway history.
I'm curious, what was the biggest difference 16 years ago when you made that shift from a position very similar to Zena's to becoming president? What suddenly was on your plate that was not on your plate before? And what did that feel like? I mean, was it a smooth transition without any bumps, or was there anything kind of jarring or even overwhelming about that shift?
There are always speed bumps, I think, in any type of transition, whether it's a fast transition or a slow transition. Zena and I have agreed that this will be a slower transition, so we can monitor those speed bumps a little bit and maybe help address them as we go through it. When I started at Gateway, it's a little bit of a quicker transition. Dr. Borden had made the announcement and left shortly after that, so we had a lot of learning to do. And I think what really helped frame our success at Gateway, a couple of things. One, we had a leadership team that was very strong already at Gateway, so we kept them together. A few have retired since then, but for the most part, our team, executive leadership team, has a decade of experience together. We continue to work through issues all along. But the real defining difference was with the support of our board of trustees, we were able to differentiate specific roles for the president, myself, and the provost, Zena. And that was for President Albrecht, go out and build relationships with our community, keep our community strong. So that's why we're actively involved in so many nonprofit organizations, serve on so many community boards, and build economic development pathways and really focus on that community component to it, which, you know, in any organization, you can lose sight of that at times because Gateway itself is a big community and you can zero just in on that. But we know that the investors, the taxpayers and the residents and ultimately the students that we serve are linked tightly back to the community. And so when I was charged to do that, I knew that my life was about being in the community 24/7, making sure that I'm present and visible. And I really enjoy that. That meant that we need someone to really monitor and take care of the family that we called Gateway. And so Zena took the internal capacity building, which was faculty development, system building, you know, the infrastructure to make sure that students had the resources necessary to be successful. And I think as a team, that's really what made it successful. It would be very difficult in today's higher education world to have a single person try to manage all of that. There's just not enough time in the day. And as in any type of business, I think, especially education, it's about relationships. So to be able to know that we have the support of the mayor, to know that the county exec has our cell phone number, the CEO of the company is behind us if we need some specific training capacity issues. So those, I think, were the two biggest things, keeping our team together through that transition, and then also differentiating kind of our key roles and responsibilities.
Zena Haywood, I loved what you said earlier in terms of applying and being offered three jobs simultaneously, but choosing Gateway because of the warmth and openness of the search committee with whom you interviewed. Beyond that simple friendliness, which certainly should not be taken for granted, what were other things then and now that you see as sort of unique and really distinctive qualities that make Gateway so special?
I think the main thing that makes Gateway special is kind of what I alluded to earlier. It's really the culture at the institution. A lot of people will tell you when they come in, what surprises you about Gateway. And they'll say the family atmosphere, that you can talk to anybody at the college from the president on down. And I think that culture is not only about how we relate to each other, because we know relationships are important. And as Brian said, one person can't do it all. We're all connected in some way. I think another unique part is how talent is actually acquired, how we develop the talent at the college and how we nurture it. We have a program now called Gateway to Leadership, where it's not about mentoring people to be managers and directors. It's about teaching leadership at every level. So any employee at the college can participate in this program. We have about 12 people a year. It's a year-long process, and we teach them about leadership. And so leadership is permeated throughout the college at all levels. And we also do a great job, I feel, celebrating what our employees do and the accomplishments of the college as a whole. We have programs like the Star Faculty Award, where students actually select faculty that they worked with who they thought did a great job, and they give us great reasons. And it's not always about how they taught in the class. It's a lot of times it's about how they were accessible after class. It's about how they took them to the next level. It's about how they introduced them to a company representative to help them get a job. So those kinds of things. We also have a staff recognition award that we do every year. And it's not about the best person in the registrar's office or in business and workforce solutions. It's broad categories like who, and we nominate each other for things like community service. So out in the community, who do we want to recognize for that? Who do we want to recognize as an innovator? What team at the college has done something over the last year that's extraordinary, that moved the college's mission or vision? And so we even celebrate a new employee. So there's like 10 or 12 categories that we do every year. And it's such a fun thing to do, to actually stop and reflect on the success that we have at the college. And I think that's really a unique thing. I think another unique thing is that how people in the community feel like Gateway belongs to them. We do a lot within student services and student success and all our academics to make sure students feel like they belong. But I think the community feels like Gateway belongs to them. And it's not just because we know that because they use our facilities for meetings and events. It's not about that. They also participate, business and industry participates in our advisory committees that help us create our programs and make sure they're cutting edge and what is needed in business and industry. We have community members and alumni who have come back to read scholarship applications. The public participates in our Earth Day. We had DEI workshops just for the community, and we had great response to that. And business and industry and nonprofits and all those types of boards and organizations, they want a representative from Gateway. And I think it's because they feel like we belong to them and they know what Gateway can bring to the table. So it's just a unique place to work, and it's just a great atmosphere and culture.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't emphasize it any better, Zena. You absolutely said it. I try to remind myself every day, we are in the people business, the business of serving students, the business of serving our community, and of course, the business of serving each other. So I'm really grateful for all of those opportunities to recognize our employees and to honor the work that they do. You know, it was so evident this last year and a half or 2 years. Frontline workers were also instructors at Gateway. So the nurse that probably did your COVID test or gave you your vaccine likely is an employee at Gateway. Police officers, first responders, EMS. So you could just go up and down the list of the different types of occupations that make a community strong. And in some way, there is a connection back to the service that is provided here. And that's all done by individual people. Instructors, support services, information technology. There's so many different ways in which we touch our community. So great examples.
President Albrecht, Gateway, of course, is one of a number of technical colleges throughout the state of Wisconsin, part of a really vibrant and healthy technical college system that's in many respects the envy of the rest of the nation. How would you place Gateway within that framework? I mean, we could talk all day about how wonderful Gateway is, but of course there are these other technical colleges that also bring something distinctive and important to the table. In what way is Gateway an important part of this larger system, and what is Gateway's relationship to some of these other schools?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And because I'm going to send this broadcast link to all of my colleague presidents around the state, I will just share that Gateway ranks number one out of all 16 of them. And let me tell you why. It was because we were the first one founded in 1911. So we're the first and oldest technical college in the state, founded right in Racine. The legislation allowed communities of over 5,000 residents to impose a tax for, at that time, was called a continuation school, or maybe you might refer to it as vocational training. Made sense because this region of the state was building out very rapidly for the Industrial Revolution. And as we think about the types of jobs that were necessary in the early 1900s, a continuation school made a lot of sense. So Racine raised their hand, and still today we rely on those investors, those taxpayers, to keep our college strong. So not only are we unique in our age, but we're unique in our geographic location, and that we serve a main corridor between Milwaukee and Chicago, a very strong economic base here. Of course, it's changed over the years. Imagine, you know, not that long ago, 40 years ago, the automotive industry was a huge presence in Southeast Wisconsin. And today we have logistics, warehousing, distribution, banking, financial, healthcare. So different industry sectors have evolved. We see it visibly when we drive up and down the interstate, how our community is changing. And we feel it when we're downtown talking with how do we reestablish small business entrepreneurship, those types of sectors that we know have driven our economy for so many years. So Gateway plays a critical role in our work here in Southeast Wisconsin. How it affects the entire state: the 16 colleges collaborate. We're part of a statewide system under a governance board appointed by the governor. And we're so honored that we actually have a representative on that board. Megan Barr is the student representative on the Wisconsin Technical College System Board, our first student representative in our 110-year history. So we're very proud of Megan. But through that process, we share curriculum. We have some shared programs with other colleges. We collaborate on how what the best practices are for student success and enrollment strategies. There's even a consortium for marketing our technical colleges. There are many ways in which we collaborate with the other colleges. Each college has its own governing board, which gives it its local flavor. So for me, that means Southeast Wisconsin is a little bit different than maybe Green Bay or Nicolet or what's going on over in La Crosse at Western Technical College. So we take the flavor of our region. So we're pretty much heavily focused on the industry collaboration, the focus in manufacturing. That's why we build out those expanded programs in at the iMed Center. And of course, as we all know, the evolving industry of healthcare. So you're seeing greater investments for Gateway. So I like to just remind our community that as our community change, so will Gateway. If the needs are in healthcare, we will expand programming in healthcare. If the needs are to figure out how we're going to be better at supply chain, logistics, manufacturing, we will build capacity for that because we're responding to the needs of the community, ultimately through the success and graduates that we provide for that workforce. So mission is the same 100 plus years later, programming a little bit different.
For those of you just joining us today, I'm honored to have on the morning show President Brian Albrecht and Vice President and Provost Zena Haywood, who have both announced their retirements from Gateway. Zena Haywood's retirement will take place in September, Brian Albrecht's retirement in November. Zena Haywood, and I think President Albrecht will want to weigh in on this as well. You have probably seen some changes here at Gateway over the last 10 to 15 years. In the same way that this part of the state, this region itself has also changed. What would be some of the most significant changes that you have seen during your time as provost and vice president?
Well, first of all, I've been at Gateway for 29 years, only 29 years in August. So the last 10 to 15 actually have been, I think, the most productive years and the years of greatest change at the college. Gateway did what I would consider a 180-degree turn when Brian became president. And I'm not saying that because he's my supervisor or my boss or because we've been working together for these 16 years. It's because when I first came to Gateway, there was an interim president, and then there was two presidents before Brian. So I've been, Brian was actually the fourth president that I've been with for since I started at Gateway. So it's been a really a true transformation. And I think one of the biggest changes was Gateway's reputation, not just in the community, but nationally and internationally. And it's changed in such a positive way. Back in the day, a few presidents ago, we used to like dread reading the newspaper, because we knew we were looking for what they're going to say bad about Gateway. What is it today? And now, you know, we keep lists of Gateway being in the paper and international magazines and journals, and we keep track of all those things, and they contact us for information. Not only do we send out press releases, but we are contacted a lot to give information about what's happening. And Brian mentioned already about the emphasis on partnerships. And that's another place where that brings that national and international awareness and attention to the college. I think another big change was international education. I think I mentioned that earlier. We started the study abroad program in 2007, was our first trips that students took to Germany, to our sister college there. And since then, we have had students and faculty visit 23 different countries. Since 2007, everywhere from Iceland to South Africa. And then now we're working on, with COVID, we can't travel. So we're now working on partnerships where we can have those experiences via Zoom and video conferencing. So we're just working on a contract now, or MOU, with a technical college in Brazil, one in Scotland, and one even in Mongolia. So we can still continue to have those experiences, as we know that COVID is not going away. We'll probably have a slow progression, but not as robust as we were before 2020. So I think another big change is, I mentioned this earlier, is about how we went from Gateway Kenosha, Gateway Racine, to Gateway. And I think that is a huge positive move that we've made. We've also made, and this is under Brian's leadership as well, a change in the aesthetic of the programs and the facilities and all programs going in one direction. Brian put some programs in physically in one space that are like programs. We have the Horizon Center, we have the IMET Center, we have the Inspire Center, where we put those programs that are similar together to get that synergy and that energy around that particular occupation. And we've also gone from schools, we are now schools within the college versus divisions. And so having that recognition as a school, people can understand what they can expect from the training and education that they'll get from that particular program. As you know, academic program delivery has totally changed from when I started. Everything we now have online now means three different things. Online could be asynchronous, it could be via Zoom, it could be half in class, half online. And the faculty are really embracing this change. And so I think that's another great transformation in these last 10, 15 years. We also have put an emphasis on working collaboratively with faculty. We now have a faculty teaching and learning caucus, whereas before we were focused on negotiations with the faculty. Now we sit down together and figure out what is teaching and learning gonna look like. And we even have faculty who half of their load is actually helping other faculty improve the teaching and getting to teaching excellence at our college. So lots of different things have changed with dual credit. I mean, nearly 5,000 high school students last year went through Gateway courses, saving parents millions of dollars in tuition. We did not have anything like that before. Our foundation is more robust, and not just in the amount of the endowment, but the types of support that the foundation gives. Another significant change, and people may not recognize this, especially if they haven't been at the college as long as I have, but when I became a vice president in 2000, I was the only female vice president at the college at that time. And now there are five more women, and then also three more African-American females that are vice presidents at Gateway. And I think that a significant thing that needs to be recognized as we talk about DEI and how President Albrecht has been a strong advocate and champion for diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think also the scope and the amount of the grants that we have been awarded have grown exponentially. We've got a lot more federal grants, and it's because of the work that we've done and the reputation that the college has. And right now, we never stop. We're moving toward a greater focus on making data-driven decisions and in our strategic planning and everything that we're doing with financials. It's just been a great thing to see how the college has transformed over the last 10 to 15 years. I'm going to stop there.
Well, Sina, I mean, that was one of the biggest challenges that you and I faced when we were talking. There's so many exciting things on the horizon for Gateway. We know what we've already accomplished. They're remarkable. But boy, I think, you know, like this whole world of data science, as you mentioned, artificial intelligence, autonomous vehicles, human patient simulation, all of the new and emerging careers that are out there for young people and adults, and Gateway gets to be a part of that transformation of our community. Yes. Again. So it's just great examples of all the things that we're doing.
Briefly, Zena, what would be one of your biggest hopes for Gateway in terms of what is ahead?
Well, I hope that Gateway continues to be the model college that it is. And I'm sure that will happen. I know it's in the atmosphere. It's part of our culture that we are going to be the model college. The college is not perfect. I don't think there is a perfect college anywhere, but we are perfect in our drive toward excellence. And I think that's what's going to happen and what's going to drive the college to continue to be the excellent institution that it is. And just because I'm now on the payroll, I'm still part of the family. And I will also continue to keep Gateway in my prayers. Mm-hmm. And so I know it's going to be positive and only moving forward and getting better and better.
So what are your plans, if you have any plans, come September when you get to walk out of your provost office for the last time and shut the door behind you. Do you have plans at this point?
My plans are to decompress for a few months. I talked to some folks who recently retired, and they said, the worst thing I did was decide all these volunteer things I'm going to do, and now they're overwhelmed. They told me, just take your time and decide what you want to do. So I know I'm going to be staying in the area. I have a grandson that's here, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to be around and seeing where I can help Gateway anywhere in the future.
That reminds me that I can think of several examples of important people at Gateway, including vice presidents, that that left and yet didn't completely leave, and that he sometimes called back or drawn back to be of assistance to the school in various ways. And that probably says a whole lot about the culture here, that these kind of departures are not a kind of a cut the cord sort of departure, but you're going to always be part of Gateway, and you're always going to want to help Gateway however you can.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Greg, and I would say likewise on my end that Gateway becomes a part of who you are as well. So as Zena said, that nurturing, that monitoring, that involvement, that all of that continues to stay. It's a strong part of who we've become. And it's a sense of pride of the accomplishments we had, but also a sense of support and compassion for all of those that are still here doing that hard work of the mission of Gateway. And I'm going to be thrilled and honored, like Zena, to be able to be a different level of support and encouragement for everyone that is still remaining here at the college.
Well, I can say, as someone who predates both of you at Gateway, having started here in 1986.
Oh, wow.
Way back, yeah, when they scarcely had electricity back then. But, I mean, only somebody who has been at Gateway as long as I have can really understand the dramatic, drastic transformation of the school. I mean, Gateway in so many ways is nothing like it was back in 1986. The transformation has been astounding on so many different levels. And on top of it, as Gateway has grown, expanded in such spectacular ways, it has also become increasingly close-knit over those many years. I mean, and a lot of things that grow become less connected, in a sense, less friendly, less of a community. Gateway has only become more of a community over the years. And so the two of you have played an enormous role in that. And so on behalf of I don't know who, I want to thank you for that and congratulate you on that.
Thank you, Greg.
Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. Zena Haywood, of executive vice president and provost, but not for much longer. Zena Haywood steps down as of September, Brian Albrecht in November. It has been great to speak with both of you today about your careers at Gateway. President Albrecht, of course, we have more conversations yet to come. But Zena Haywood, if this was our last morning show conversation, I want to thank you for today and for all of the conversations we've had in the past. It's always been great to talk with you.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure.
I'm Gregory Burr. Tomorrow on the morning show, I'm going to be speaking with two faculty colleagues, including political science professor Jeffrey Roberg, about a really interesting and exciting study tour that just occurred when 18 Carthage students traveled to the beautiful country of Peru. It's amazing to see study trips abroad happening again. None were possible a year ago because of COVID. And of course, they are only possible now within very careful COVID protocols. We'll talk about that and how this trip took shape and was able to happen. We'll have, again, Professor Roberg, Mariana Morales, and several students who were part of this study tour to Peru.
this weekend in the podcast version of the morning show on Saturday, Achim Jovic and his book, The Moment, A Practical Guide to Creating a Mindful Life in a Distracted World. And on Sunday, you'll hear my interview with photographer Todd Gray talking about a wonderful volume called Michael Jackson Before He Was King. Todd Gray was the official photographer for the Jackson 5 for about a decade or so, a period which extended into the first years of Michael Jackson's solo career. And his book is chock full of some really fascinating and never before seen photographs. And on Monday, for Valentine's Day, I'll be speaking to the author of a book called The Practice of Love. The author is a longtime family therapist and relationship therapist who offers some thoughts on how we can be much more happy and successful in our